Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. And I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Thursday, October 11th. And we're glad you're tuned in and listening today over WSOF and WAJJ Radio. And we're glad to be able to send out these broadcasts through the radio airwaves and also over the internet through WSOF.org. Appreciate you being tuned in and listening. Well, I thank the Lord for the good day that He's given us, the blessings in our life. As many of you know, we are in Kansas, and a lot of our families gathered in here. Not all of them. Some of them not able to be here for this special event. Joshua is getting married, and he's the last of our children to get married. I say sometimes he held out as long as he could. Amen. I'll just pick about that. But anyway, Joshua and Katie Gehring getting married tomorrow, and we're excited for them. And so we're in Kansas preparing for the wedding, getting things ready there. And actually, as this will be airing, we'll be getting ready for the practice and the rehearsal for the wedding ceremony itself. And so, if you will, remember us in prayer. Amen. A lot of emotions and sometimes some tensions. Amen. So pray that God would bless and help. But nonetheless, I hope things are going well there in Madisonville or wherever you are in the listening area. And we, Lord willing, will be back on Saturday. The wedding is tomorrow night. And then we're coming back on Saturday and be there Sunday for our regular services there at the I-4 Baptist Church. Hope you'll make it a point to come out and be with us. We'd love to have you there. Appreciate Brother Jimmy Moyes filling in for us last night at the church and blessing us in the midweek prayer service there at the Island Ford Baptist Church. If you will, let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for putting me in the family of God, for saving me, for putting me in the ministry, for allowing me to be able to make these broadcasts and pastor this church and have the great outreach that we have with the radio stations. Lord, I thank you for it. I pray, Father, that these words would go forth, not my words, but your words, that they would be anointed with the Spirit of God, that they would have life, that they would have soul-saving, life-regenerating power. Lord, that you'd get the glory. Sinners might be saved. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I do appreciate you praying with us. I've got two songs by the Shepherd family. These are the children singing both of these two songs. First of all, we got them with one of the newer songs they sang with a banjo, and it's a little short song that says, "I'm Hallelujah, I'm ready to go." Amen. And then after that, we got an a cappella song that I really love entitled "Better Farther On." And I'm glad for the child of God, my things are better farther on. And I'm glad, hallelujah, I'm ready to go. Amen. All right, Malachi chapter number 2 and verse number 17 is where we start with again today. Malachi chapter 2, verse 17. "Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment?" That's my phrase that I'm dealing with this whole series. Where is the God of judgment? Verse 1 of chapter 3. "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Jump to chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3 again for our text today. "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all the that do wickedly shall be stubble. The day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." Dealing with this thought, where is the God of judgment?
And it seems to me as if Israel was questioning there, why are we seeing the wicked prosper and the godly are in poverty? It seemed like that was the statement that they had on their mind. And they were questioning, why is God not doing something about it? Where we're living in a world that seems to have gotten the conclusion, God's not going to do anything about anything. Everything's going to be all right. They're going to get by with everything. But the Bible tells us they're not going to get by. Amen? Malachi answered back to them when they asked the question, where is the God of judgment? The very next verse he said, judgment is coming. Amen? And Jesus is coming, and when he comes, he's coming in judgment. We've been preaching through this and talking and thinking about the fact we're at the end of it. We're talking about the fact that when he comes, he's going to deal in judgment to the sinner, but he's going to deal in justice to the saved. He's going to give the saved what God has reserved for them. I'm just simply saying all through the Bible, this idea and the promise that righteousness will conquer the wicked has been throughout the Bible, and one day it'll be fulfilled and it will be so. And that will be seen when the righteous trample over the wicked, as he said in our verse. That is often seen by putting the foot on the head of the wicked. I've got several verses here. I'm not going to ask you to turn. But in Joshua chapter 10, verse 24 through 25, and this is just a touching, there's bunches of them. But it said, and it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of the war, which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. This is in the early conquest of the promised land. And Joshua had them when those kings had hidden the cave. You remember the story? And they brought them out there. And Joshua told these captains, put your feet on the necks. In other words, don't be afraid of them. Don't hide from them. Don't let them put fear in you. But you have overcome. You have conquered. Amen. And there's coming a day when the righteous will get to put their feet on the necks of the ungodly. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 22, verses 40 and 41. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Put your feet on them. That's the idea that he's got there. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. These verses tell us that Jesus is going to triumph over the wicked and that the saints are also going to triumph with him. Right. Amen. God has put an emotion in the hearts of most people. That most people cheer for the underdog. We like to see it when the little lad picks up a little rock and knocks a giant in the head.
Right, amen. Right.
Oh, we can cheer at that, can't we? When somebody that has been defeated, somebody that has been oppressed, somebody that has been put down for a number of times and for a length of days, finally rises up and gives them the what for, amen? And we cheer them on. We cheer for the underdog. Isn't that right? Well, throughout, ever since in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve was deceived, Adam walked into sin. Ever since that day, it seems as if evil has conquered this world and has been conquered. It seems as if the darkness has spread and spread and spread, and the venom of the serpent has run more through the veins than any other thing. But the day's coming when the underdog's going to rise up and get the upper hand. Amen. That's what he's talking about. In our text, amen, God made the promise to the serpent in the Garden of Eden. As Adam and Eve were about to be cast out of the garden for their sin, he promised Eve that her seed was going to fight against the seed of the serpent. Amen. And through that, she and Adam, although they had fallen under his deception, his devices, her seed would overcome. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. You probably know this verse well. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And why is the heel? Because the heel's on the head. Amen. the serpent fighting against the seed of the woman. I believe that God partially fulfilled that prophecy when he allowed Christ to go to Calvary. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God made the promise to the woman, and he allowed a woman to bear the son. I believe the psalmist had caught sight of that. Turn with me to Psalm 91. The psalms are great psalms of emotion. If you want to know the feelings that come in people, you read the psalms, buddy, you'll see a whole range. I believe every emotion known to man is covered somewhere in that book of psalms. I believe it is. But Psalm 91 is a great psalm. Look at verse number 11 of Psalm 91. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, who's that talking about? The devil already told us who that's talking about. The devil, in the temptation of Christ, quoted that verse and said, this is talking about you.
Right.
All right, so it's talking about Jesus. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Look at verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. Upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon that shalt thou trample under feet. All right, here's the idea. He mentions the lion. He mentions the adder, which is a serpent. And he mentions the dragon. Do you wonder who that's talking about? That's talking about the devil and all of his little devils. Amen. He's talking about all the powers of the enemy. Jesus is going to trample over them. By the way, when Jesus showed up on this earth and those devils were in people, by the way, they're in them again today. Amen. They probably have been throughout the time, but just like there was an abundance of them at the first coming of Christ, I believe there will be an abundance of devils at the second coming of Christ. Amen. But those devils, when they came in contact with Jesus, they knew he had power over them, and they knew he could torment them. Amen. And they knew he would one day torment them. He was able to trample them under his feet. Amen. Now, he's saying Christ is going to tread upon them. And Christ is going to trample them. Now, I believe that was, as I said, partially fulfilled on Calvary. Christ made an open show of the devil and the works of darkness by defeating the devil on Calvary. Now, the reason I say partially fulfilled on Calvary is because Jesus did defeat Satan and his agenda. But there's coming a day when Satan and all his agents are going to finally and totally be put away. Amen. Subdued and put down. That day is going to include more than just the Savior. It's going to include the Savior and the saints with Him. Amen. Thank God it is. Amen. When He comes back, we're coming with Him. Amen. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul saw that. Look with me in the book of Romans. Last chapter of the book of Romans, chapter 16. Romans chapter number 16. Paul revealed the mystery that Christ is going to use His church to trample down Satan. Romans chapter 16, verse number 20. Paul's closing out his letter. And the God of peace, look at this, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Amen.
Huh. He's talking to the church at Rome. Amen. Not the Roman Catholic Church. These are real believers in Rome. Amen. People have been saved even in Caesar's household. And Paul's writing this letter to them. And he said, the day's coming when the God of peace is going to subdue Satan. He's going to bruise Satan under your feet. Amen. That's why I believe the King James Bible is perfectly correct when it said in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 15, he talks about the seed. Let me read that again. He said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Why didn't he say, he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel? He said it, not he. And here's why I believe. Because it denotes a group, possibly, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's going to bruise the head of Satan, even though Satan bruised the heel of our Lord. Our Lord put his foot on Satan's head on Calvary. And by the grace of God, all those who have trusted him as Lord and Savior will one day be overcomers, thank God. It is the faith of the Son of God that allows us to overcome sin. Amen. Psalm chapter number 43, verse 3. He shall subdue the people under us. and the nations under our feet. Amen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, know you not that the righteous shall judge the world. Amen. We're going to overcome them. Amen. Now down through the centuries, there have been those that misunderstood this victorious church. Actually got the idea, got the prophecy backwards. They got to thinking that the church is going to subdue wickedness and then we're going to usher Christ back in. That's not how it's going to happen. Christ is going to come back in and subdue wickedness and usher us in with Him. Amen. We're coming with Him when He comes riding on white horses. Amen. And we'll be the armies that come with Him, the thousands of thousands. Praise God, that'll be riding with the Lord. Amen. The Bible makes it plainly clear that it is Christ that has the power. Amen. It is Christ that is the overcoming, the one. He's the one that sets up the kingdom and subdues wickedness. Amen. The victory will be all because of Him. Zechariah chapter 10, verse number 5. Here's what the Bible said. And they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. And they shall fight because the Lord is with them. And the riders on horses shall be confounded. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. I'm almost done. Revelation 19. I want to do a little bit of lengthy reading here. And then wind her down. I'm not done, but I'm headed that direction, all right? I might be on my last lap, okay? Revelation chapter 19, verse number 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. That's what he's talking about here in Malachi. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And by the way, I want to remind you, that's not his blood. That's the blood of his enemies. Amen. And the name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. That's me and you, praise God. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That sounds like what the bride's clothed in, don't it? Amen. That's us coming back, I believe. Clothed in the raiment, white, fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great King, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army, that's us. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. That's the great battlefield when Christ comes riding back and defeats the devil, amen. Defeats the false prophet. Defeats the Antichrist on that day. I recognize the devil's going to be loosed after a little season. I understand it. Or loosed for a little season after that 1,000 year. But on that day, the Antichrist will be put down. The world powers will be put down. That great image which Nebuchadnezzar saw with a head of gold and saw the shoulders of silver and goes on down the belly and the thighs and the feet of iron and clay mixed. And that great stone comes rolling down and crushes it to pieces, the Bible said. Amen. And on that day we'll stand and rejoice and say, Babylon is fallen. We'll say, great is our God, mighty in battle is our God. Amen. We'll rejoice in that victory because Malachi said, we'll trample under feet the ashes. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.